Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's his windup, the pitch. Swing. There's a high drive in the deep right center. Going back is Frazier. He looks up and it's gone. A home run. Right out over the bricks. Made it over that wall. Andrew McCutchen with his first home run against his old team, the Pirates.
Good afternoon, everybody. Andrew Filippone with you today. And I am live on location. Redbeards on 6th. Perfect hangout. Perfect pregame spot for the Battle of Pennsylvania. The Pirates and Phillies start a three-game series tonight. Come here before the game, park downtown, walk across the Clemente Bridge, and boom, you're right there for the Pirates and Phillies. I'm with you until 5:40. That's when the NASCO preview show will take over. Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider, will stop by at 5. John Clayton, our NFL insider, at 4. On Tyreek Hill, the Kansas City Chiefs star, who told his fiance, "You need to be terrified of me," who will not face any discipline for those comments and allegedly what he did to his two-year-old son. So Clayton on that and more, a week away from the Steelers' first training camp practice in Latrobe. And that's What's on Tap, brought to you by Fatheads, 15 packs, now available in Sunshine, Daydream, and Bumbleberry. This was supposed to be another Andrew McCutchen homecoming weekend. Former Pirates MVP signed a three-year, $50 million deal with Philadelphia in the offseason after splitting last year in San Francisco and New York with the Yankees. And I have friends, you might too, you might be one of these people, who purchased tickets to this for this weekend just to see McCutchen come back to Pittsburgh. To watch him play here again. It happened last year when the Giants came to town, and I think this was a very popular ticket when they went on sale because Pittsburgh still loves Andrew McCutchen. And even though the trade netted the Pirates Brian Reynolds, who's hitting 340 and is on a short list of Rookie of the Year candidates, that award was given today. Pete Alonso of the Mets would win. And Reynolds might be the first or second runner-up. 340 batting average. 24 years old. The Pirates have his rights for another 6 years. Objectively, if you take bias out of it, you take emotion out of it, that was a great trade. 1 year of Andrew McCutchen for a young outfielder with a lot of upside. But I don't think the Pirates have still recovered from that trade. I don't think the fans have come back from it. I don't think enough fans here have either forgiven or accepted that trade. That when you trade the face of a franchise, when you trade Andrew McCutchen, you're going to have a negative fan reaction that people who have been invested turn away. McCutchen is the reason why, after 20 years of losing, the Pirates went to the playoffs in 13, 14, and 15. That if there's a face for the Pirates ending 20 years of misery, it's Andrew McCutchen. And I think when you trade a player like that, there are fans that give up, that say they're done. And so what do you have to do to win them back over? How do you get them back How do you get them to watch games on TV again? How do you get them to spend their money and go to PNC Park and watch the Pirates play? It's not as simple as winning a trade. It's not as easy as the Pirates got the better end of the deal from the Giants. The Pirates need to win. And since the McCutchen trade, they've been an average team. 82 wins last year, on pace for about 77, 78 wins this year. Kind of in contention, kind of not. I think it's a big scar. I think it's not fully healed yet. I think it's still, for fans, an open wound, one that is big enough or bad enough, where even though Brian Reynolds has burst onto the scene and has been a very productive player, I don't think I don't think in and of itself that's enough for Pirates fans to forgive and forget and move on. The Post-Gazette, the failing Post-Gazette, sent one of their sports reporters to Philadelphia this week to talk to McCutchen. And it was an article that Andrew Smart, he didn't blast the Pirates. He didn't really say anything all that interesting. And that piece, last I checked, is the most read article on the Post-Gazette's website today. So there is still a huge amount of interest in McCutchen. And so the Pirates are having to fight fan apathy, are trying to get fans engaged again, are trying to get back the fans who appeared in droves during the 3 years of winning. I mean, you look at, I'm going to go back in time here, when the trade got made. This article is from January 15th, 2018. It's a Ron Cook column. He wrote right after the trade got made, quote, "By trading Andrew McCutchen, the Pirates continue to torture their fans. Called the Pirates a sad sack franchise. Said their pain and suffering, the pain and suffering of Pirates fans, almost unbearable." Cook wrote, "I feel sorry for Pirates fans." Ron wrote, "You are following the worst franchise in baseball." Cook writes, "No one deserves to be with a team that actually tries to win more than McCutchen. We were lucky to have him as long as we did." That was from January of 2018, right after the trade got made. Pirates win the trade, but have they won back their fans? I would say based on the attendance figures at PNC Park, they haven't. You get Brian Reynolds, which is nice, but what do you lose? What have you lost? Was it a trade that made fans say, "This is it. This is my last nerve. They've hit on it. They've touched it. They've ruined it for me." I think there were fans who were praying and hoping that McCutchen was going to be Pittsburgh's version of George Brett in Kansas City, Cal Ripken in Baltimore, Tony Gwynn in San Diego, other small market or mid-market teams who were able to keep their franchise player, their star player around for their entire careers. So I think there are a lot of disappointed fans, people that were hoping that they would get another glimpse of McCutchen. It's not the same as Penguins fans wanting to go to the arena to watch Marc-Andre Fleury. Because even though Penguins fans probably still, to some degree, live vicariously through Fleury, the Penguins compete for Stanley Cups, make the playoffs every year, have kept Sidney Crosby, their real face of the franchise, still have Evgeny Malkin, who's 1A to Crosby. And when the Pirates lost Andrew McCutchen, it created a void. Now, to some extent, Josh Bell has filled that void. His numbers are great. What he's doing so far this year blows away anything McCutchen ever did statistically in a Pirates uniform. In fact, Bell's numbers right now, home runs and RBIs, are better than McCutcheon's the year he won the MVP award. But I heard from enough Pirates fans that when that trade was made in 2016 who said, or 2018, who said, I'll never go to another game. I'll never watch him again. This is it for me. And so is getting back Brian Reynolds and making a good trade enough for fans to say, well, I was upset at the time. It bothered me that McCutcheon got traded. I'm back on board. 412-928-9370. That's our Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. It creates a hole in center field for the Phillies, who are in a win-now mode after giving out more than $300 million in free agent money to guys like Bryce Harper, who have underachieved. And that creates a dilemma for both teams who are in town today. The Pirates, who have a center fielder they're willing to trade, and the Phillies need an outfielder. So we'll talk about that. Is there a match? These two teams are here, but maybe the bigger picture for Pirates fans is, can a trade get consummated that benefits both teams moving forward? So we'll talk about that. We're at Redbeard's hanging out here. I'll be broadcasting until 5:40. Jason Mackey's going to join me at 5. We'll get his thoughts. Are fans over the Andrew McCutcheon trade? Have they forgiven it? Brian Reynolds' production enough to take what was a low point for a lot of Pirates fans and turn it into a positive? What do you think? 412-928-9370. Craig Riley producing back in Greentree. Mueller is the day off. He's in a bad mood because his family members are making him watch Fox News this week. So he's all hot and bothered, but he'll be back on Monday. All right. Get some of your thoughts in here. We've got Tyreek Hill's non-suspension. We've got John Clayton. We've got a lot to do between now and the end of the show. Keep it here. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. From Redbeard Sports Bar and Grill, 6th Street downtown, I'm Andrew Filippone. Starling Marte telling Dejan Kovacevic, telling DK. See, I'm going to attribute properly. He talked to Marte. Not sure if there was a tape recorder present, but according to his website, he talked to Marte in St. Louis, and Marte seems to think that he's available. DK says three times. Marte mentioned to him possibly getting traded. And I think there's a match between the Pirates and the Phillies. And I don't see a reason why, because of the rivalry between the two cities, the two teams can't make a trade. That's dumb. You know, I don't think any Pirate fan would feel like it's apostasy or inappropriate to make a trade with the Phillies just because they're the team on the other side of the state. Who cares? And so we know that if you follow baseball at all, you know that the Phillies have lost Andrew McCutcheon to a knee injury, and their opening day center fielder is out because of major problems, major trouble. Domestic violence policy violation. So he's out for the year. Philly traded for Jay Bruce. He's injured. Philly center fielder right now is a shortstop. And Philly's put a lot of eggs in this year's basket. Philly spent a lot of money to put a winner on the field. I don't think the Phillies are willing to punt on 2019. My solution is trade Starling Marte to Philadelphia for the Phillies' top pitching prospect. He's at AA. He's a top 100 prospect. His numbers are not overwhelmingly good, but that ballpark in Redding where the Phillies play is notorious for being like the best hitting park in AA baseball. So I think that's where you start with a trade. Marte to the Phillies for their best pitching prospect, who's at Double A, 22 years old, throws 96, good numbers in a hitter's park, and maybe the Phillies will throw in a guy that projects as a reliever, or you take a flyer on a guy low in the minor leagues who might be an outfielder for you someday, knock on wood, and that's your trade. Because beyond this year, look at the Pirates pitching. Tyone's future is very much in doubt. Chris Archer has a $9 million option for next year. He's not pitching like a in the Pirates' eyes like a $9 million player. What else? Jordan Lyles will be gone. Trevor Williams has an ERA over 5. Mitch Keller, okay. He'll be in the rotation next year. If he's not, then the Pirates have bigger problems, which they might, but he better be good. And then after Keller, the next pitcher who projects as somebody who's like a top three starter would be the kid they just drafted, Quinton Priester. And he's 18 years old. So you've got a gulf there. There's nobody else in the pipeline besides Keller in your first round pick. You going to bank on Agrizal? I think he might be a flash in the pan. So they've got to find pitching depth somewhere. Starting pitching depth. Young starting pitching. That is the best commodity in baseball. The most precious commodity. And so that's why I think trading Starling Marte to the Phillies, taking advantage of their urgency, taking advantage of their desperation, makes sense. And then you move Brian Reynolds to center field. Brian Reynolds is not going to be Andy Van Slyke or even Starling Marte, but that's the position he played in the minor leagues. He was a center fielder at AAA. Then he's a center fielder for the rest of this year. You figure out by watching him how he does at the position. If you need to go sign a free agent outfielder next year, okay. It's cheaper to find an outfielder in free agency than it is a starting pitcher. So I think there's a match there. Marte thinks he's going to be traded if you believe Dejan's report. And the team that makes the most sense is the team that's in town to play the Pirates right now because they're desperate. Their manager needs to save his job. They came into this year thinking they were a 90-win team, and then injuries hit. And I don't think the Phillies are reluctant to do something aggressive or bold. Take advantage of that if you're the Pirates. 412-928-9370. The NFL's decision to not suspend Tyreek Hill has me really upset. Because of what the NFL has done in the past to Steelers players. We'll talk about that next, live from Redbeards. It's the PM team on 93.7 The Fan. And we're hanging out at Redbeards downtown. Craig and I have action on Cubs Padres. And they've got it on here at Redbeards, which is awesome. You know, for years, Harry Carey performed Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field. And that has been kind of glorified, and it's become Cubs tradition to continue that, and they brought in celebrities to do so. I remember a few years ago, Kevin Ory, who used to do pregame and postgame here on The Fan, went back to Wrigley and performed Take Me Out to the Ball Game and came back and told Zangrilli that it gave him goosebumps to do it. The greatest take me out to the ball game in the history of Wrigley Field occurred on Wednesday, and we'll tell you more about that coming up later in the show. Muller's off. In 15 minutes, Mike Tomlin on Steelers fans. The Steelers coach commenting and giving his opinion on the way you act and the way you're treating him. But right now, I'm going to tell you why I love pro football, but I hate the NFL. I love pro football. I watch it. I bet on it. I get up for Steelers games. That Sunday morning before week one of the NFL season, you wake up and you've got 17 weeks of football ahead of you is sports fan nirvana. I still get a buzz off of that. But I hate the NFL for the way they have completely botched and screwed up discipline, how they react to player conduct, how the NFL treats their players and their actions off the field. For example, take Tyreek Hill, who spent time behind bars because he punched and choked his pregnant fiance. It got him kicked out of Oklahoma State. It's why he went so late in the draft. He had a documented history of violent, abusive behavior towards women. And then we get a report this spring, earlier this year, that Hill's son broke his arm, couldn't figure out who did it, how did it happen, and we get a recording, an audio recording, of Tyreek Hill talking to his fiance. She says, "You know our son is scared of you," and Hill says back, "Yeah, you should be terrified of me too." And so that gets out there. And the NFL decides today they don't have enough to discipline. They don't have enough to suspend Tyreek Hill. This is the same NFL. This is the same Roger Goodell who suspended Ben Roethlisberger for bad PR. Ben got in trouble in Milledgeville. No charges. No convictions, but it was bad for the NFL's brand. So he gets suspended 6 games. Ezekiel Elliott, no charges, no convictions, gets suspended by the NFL. Tyreek Hill has a history, a pattern of violent, abusive behavior towards people. And so even though there might not be enough for authorities in Missouri to bring up Hill on charges of either abuse towards his kid or abuse towards his fiance, you would think that this would violate the NFL's player conduct policy because of all the bad publicity it's generated. Because of how bad it's made Hill look, how bad it's made the NFL look. So that's my problem with the NFL, is once they stuck their nose in, and once Roger Goodell decided that he wasn't going to leave it to the police, that he wasn't going to just let the legal system and the criminal justice system run its course, when he decided he was going to be judge, jury, and executioner, his discipline has been incredibly inconsistent. I don't understand how Ben Roethlisberger, without charges, without a conviction, could get initially suspended 6 games, reduced down to 4. Tyreek Hill gets in trouble again, gets investigated again, and a recording of him telling his fiance, "You should be terrified of me." and he gets off scot-free. Inconsistent double standards, it makes no sense. It's an embarrassment. It's a joke. This is the same NFL that, you know, if I wanted to, I could go to a physician or a doctor here in Pittsburgh and say, can you get me a medical marijuana card? I have chronic headaches. I have chronic pain. And I would probably get one no problem. But then Martavis Bryant smokes too much, and he's pretty much lost his career because of it. And I'm not like being totally defensive or sticking up for Bryant because he knew the rules. And he got caught again and again, and it was absolutely stupid. But in the grand scheme of things, you're trying to kick the bad people, the bad guys, you're trying to get them out of your league. If you're the NFL, you're trying to drive home the point that the NFL is a privilege. It's not a right. So if that's the way you feel about the NFL, if that's the league they want to be, you explain to me how Martavis Bryant has lost his livelihood. His career is up in flames. He's trying to get back in. He can't. And Tyreek Hill is going to be allowed to show up to training camp, no problem. He won't sit out one friggin' game this year. 412-928-9370. Let me get you fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. They got scorching hot deals going on right now, which matches up and aligns with the temperatures outside. We've got a heat zone coming in. Highs in the mid-90s, 96 today. And things will cool off a little bit tonight, but not by much. Coming up at 3 o'clock, Mike Tomlin on Steelers fans. How fans view him, his perception of things. We've heard a lot from Tomlin leading up to Steelers camp. We're a week away from the first practice. You'll hear him. We'll react to it. John Clayton at 4, Jason Mackey at 5. Live from Redbeards is the PM team on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.